Hello, I'm Liz Bobo, and this is Reflections on Life. This time in the program is when I look back on six elements that help me remember now that I'm retired and I'm keeping as unstructured a life as possible. They keep me grounded and focused. And the six elements are reflections on life at home in Columbia, reflections on Zach, my grandson, reflections on Baltimore, my hometown, reflections on public policy in Maryland and the United States, reflections beyond the U.S., and then ultimately, reflections on the universe. Reflections on home in Columbia. We have finished the 50th anniversary celebration of Columbia, and now life is moving on with the city doing quite well, but still needing a lot of attention to how it is designed and operated. Also, in this 25th year, we are celebrating many good accomplishments here in Columbia. Reflections on Zach. Zach is my grandson who died of cancer at the age of 20, and I keep him in mind as a model for how to stay positive and love life no matter what, which is what he learned how to do and has been one of my greatest teachers in my life. Reflections on Baltimore. Both of my parents' families grew up in Baltimore. I was born in Baltimore. I lived there until I moved out here to Columbia when I was in my early 20s. And I love the city, and it has a lot of struggles, as we know. But there was an article in the paper this week that I found so encouraging, and that is that Lexington Market, an old market that used to have outdoor stalls when I was a kid, and which is a focus of access to good, healthy living by the people living in the lower income housing down there, has been deteriorating to the point where it was becoming a health hazard in and of itself. And just in this last month, someone has come forward with funding to the multi-million dollar numbers that we're going to get at Lexington Market back in good shape, which will be great not only from an historic perspective so that people can visit what markets used to be like, although of course it has been modernized, but also that there will be good access to healthy food for the people who are living in Baltimore. Reflections on public policy. The one thing that I want to single out here is that we are making some progress in public policy at all three levels of government at making healthcare accessible to the low-income, if not destitute, people. We still have a very long way to go on that issue, but it is at least going in the right direction now, and that is good. Reflections beyond the U.S. I've recently come back from travels in the European Mediterranean countries and have realized just how advanced we are in so many ways in this country, and yet on the other hand, how we have in some places lost the people-to-people touch, or at least it has been weakened, and it is so strong in those European countries. And then finally, reflections on the universe. The stars and planets are performing for us as well as they ever do, and are a reminder to us who are living here on Earth that we are simply a dot, simply a speck in the whole concept of the universe. And even though that's the case, each one of our lives is very important, that we live it to the best way we can, but it really helps me to keep into perspective this teeny little speck that I am in the universe. Now, to get on to today's program, I have a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Knowles joining me today. Lloyd is a former member of the Howard County Planning Board, the Howard County Council, chair of the Howard County Zoning Board, all of this in the beginning days of Columbia. He worked at the Applied Physics Lab as in some sort of physicist engineering job. I'm not sure just how that worked because I know so little in that area. But he chose to move to Columbia from the D.C. suburbs when he learned that Jim Rouse was going to be building this new city here. And when he came, he became very involved and knows a lot of the history, particularly from a land use perspective and a planning perspective, that is now so helpful to us to be able to check back on and see how we are doing in progressing. It just so happens that Lloyd Knowles is also my husband, and we are today celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. So I'm really...
Happy wedding anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. So the trip to the European countries, most of them along the Mediterranean, have a lifestyle where people are just still so closely in touch with the earth and with their community to a greater extent than we are. And yet, here in Colombia, I think, and I know that Lloyd believes, that this is one of the best lifestyles here in the United States. So what drew you, Lloyd, and what inspired and gave you the energy and determination to keep working on the formation of our city, Columbia?
Well, I was living in Laurel at the time after graduating from college. And during that time, which was the early mid-60s, Jim Rouse came to the Applied Physics Lab where I was working, and he made a speech about Columbia, about his vision of how he saw his creating a new city for 100,000 people living here in the midst of Howard County, where at the time we only had perhaps 50 or 60,000 people, and he wanted to increase that number in Columbia to 100,000, to almost triple the size of what it was then. And he wanted it to be something much different than another row of subdivisions that at that time marched up and down Route 29 and across Route 40. So his vision was so spectacular that I thought I had to be part of that. And that's why I decided to get involved. And at the time, there was great turmoil in our cities in the 1960s.
Was that in the time of the riots that, for example, took place in Baltimore City?
Yes, mm-hmm. And there were just so many things. There was the problem that we had with President Nixon and Agnew. I mean, it was just I don't know that there'll ever be a generation that has had so much ups and downs.
That's a good thing for us to remember right now, possibly. So, you uprooted and you moved to Columbia.
Yes.
You had been working for the Applied Physics Lab down in the D.C. suburbs and then moved up here?
Yeah, well, the Applied Physics Lab was, you know, in Columbia, so wanted to come to a place that was close to APL. And at that time, which was in the early 60s, there was no Columbia. So we moved to continues to be an outparcel right on Route 29. And I was lucky enough over the years to see it really develop into, I think unquestionably, the most successful new city model community in the world, let alone in the United States.
So one of the first people I interviewed when I started doing this program on a monthly basis, I guess it's getting close to 2 years ago now, was a gentleman by the name of Bob Tenenbaum, who had worked with Jim Rouse. And isn't it so that you also worked with him at some point in the very early days, or worked with him about his work in the very early days?
Yes, Bob was one of the main planners and architects for Columbia. He worked very closely with Jim Rouse. And he's published a couple books, one at the 25th anniversary of Columbia, and another one just this last year, which he asked me to be the treasurer of. I did write an article that's included in the book, as you will also have a chapter. But I didn't do anything much more than that except to keep track of the books as an engineer. Sort of interesting.
The land use development, I remember that interview sitting here in this room with Bob, and he spoke about his first visit to Columbia. He had been working at some up north on some New England area, and I think it was Mort Hoppenfeld who gave him his first ride down Route 29 from the southern part down near Washington, D.C., and then on up Route 29 for maybe a 3-mile stretch. You're a better estimator of distance than I am. And there was nothing on either side of the road but farmland. And he explained on the program to listeners that he said, you know, Mort, where is the city that's going to be built here? All I see is farmland. And Mort said, that's right. He said, but we're doing the plans, and Jim is buying up the land, and we will come out in a very organized way to build this city. And Bob said, it's just such a, I don't know if he would use the word thrill as easily as I would, but that it's just so wonderful for him now to see how it all turned out. But it's not without its problems. And I also knew Jim Rouse. I don't mean to say that we were best of friends, but he kept in very close touch with me when I was in political office, called me into his office for conversations from time to time. I didn't always agree with him, but I learned an awful lot from him. And so one of the questions was, how do we make sure that we provide for economic, social, and environmental justice here in this community? And I think it's very well known now that Jim Rouse was absolutely dedicated to both economic and racial diversity within the population. And how did that fit in with the work that you were doing on the planning board as to what kind of houses will be built, how will the layouts be so that all families can have access to the school properties, et cetera?
Well, the layout was very, very unconventional. Most zoning decisions are based on very strict rules of what can and can't happen. But here he had, he acquired close to 15,000 acres. 15,000 acres, that's a lot of land. And he came up with this concept in the early days of having 9 separate villages and the town center all surrounding the major core, which is at that time and pretty much still is the Columbia Mall area. So he said that in each village there would be 3 neighborhoods. Each neighborhood would have its own school. Then the 3 schools would merge and have their children then go to a single middle school and a single high school. And pretty much, I mean, it's exactly the way that it has turned out. There's been very, very little deviation from his original concept of the physical layout. The approval is always done at each of 4 or 5 different steps by the county council, with the general review by the planning board of everything from the overall plan of the 15,000 acres down to the site development plans, which define what can be done and what will be done on a parcel-by-parcel basis.
One of the big parcels of land that was set aside very early on was for this community college. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And isn't it really a marvelous thing how it has turned out?
It really is.
I think Jim, you know, for all of the things that he loved about his city, if he were to look at it right now, he'd say that community college is just absolutely the epitome of what I hoped it would be, both architecturally. I mean, it's certainly the finest architecture that we have in Columbia, and that's sort of a disappointment that we haven't done more downtown. But he'd be very, very pleased with how the community college has worked out.
I have a vague memory because I got involved in Columbia governance, not Columbia, in Howard County governance as a member of the Board of Appeals, but a good 10 years after you had become involved. But I recall at some time when some organization or some developer was looking for a parcel of land for some particular project, maybe small space for a gymnasium or something. I'm just pulling that out of the air. But it became pretty clear that this was an awful lot of land being reserved. And at that point, there was, what was the first building? Not the Smith building.
Was it the nursing building?
It might have been. But at any rate, there was just one or two buildings in the beginning. And all of this field and land around it between Governor Warfield Parkway and Little Patuxent Parkway. And we used to think, and I know I used to think, what is the college ever going to do with that amount of land? Why in the world did Jim Rouse set that much land aside? And as a little aside here in this conversation, Jim Rouse also spent time with me when I was county executive. He would sometimes call and talk with me. There's land use decisions can be and are usually quite contentious because many people in the development industry understandably want to build as much as they can and to a high density. But Jim was interested in keeping the place very people-friendly and family-friendly. But at any rate, he made it clear. He said, I have plans. You know, we're going to flesh out this community college campus. And then I don't know how many years ago it became evident, and boy, did it ever flesh out. And it is a wonderful place for the arts as well as all other kinds of areas of study. So you served on the planning board, and you served on the county council. And by virtue of serving on the county council, you were also a member of the zoning board. Is that correct?
Yes, I was the chair of the zoning board for 10 of the 12 years that I was a member of the council.
And what was the status of development? What were the big development projects going on in Howard County or being anticipated by setting land aside for them?
Well, actually, the zoning at that time was quite easy for the zoning board. I remember the hospital situation was one that took our attention very, very early when I was on the planning board from 1969 to 74, and then in 74 I was elected. And it was right after we got elected that the hospital situation in Howard County came to a boil. That is, we had a small community hospital, I think they had 65 beds or something, that wanted to grow. And as our population was growing, the needs of our population for medical facilities also grew. But there were two other hospitals in the city that understood what was happening in Howard County and in Columbia, and they wanted to come to Howard County and also. So one of the things that we had to do was work very, very hard to make sure that the community hospital in Columbia grew to a size and capability where it would be able to handle all of the problems that come to it from the ambulances, rather than dividing up into three small groups that had to figure out who was going to be specialized in each.
What about the area of healthcare and providing facilities for healthcare to the people living here in Columbia and beyond, for that matter? Were you ever involved in that in any of your planning roles?
Well, Jim went to Johns Hopkins University, which was and still is one of the premier medical institutions really in the world, and said, I'd like to set up a HMO, a health maintenance organization, for Columbia. And it was built and designed strictly for those that were living in Columbia. And it didn't work out so well economically. And there was a lot of contention between those outside of Columbia and those that had just come here and settled down as far as the use of the facilities. Pretty soon it was decided that everything would be loosened up and wouldn't be that segregation that at first started. And it generally has worked out very, very well. We had that Columbia Medical Plan, now owned, I think, in most part by Johns Hopkins. And medical services have been, I think, outstanding in this area.
What about setting aside open space? And there's a series of pathways in Columbia that you can describe much better than I can. But how did that come about, that we have so much preserved open space within the new town?
Well, I mentioned before we have 15,000 acres of what is generally considered Columbia. And Jim Rouse and the Rouse Company donated 5,000, one-third of all of that property to the Columbia Association to maintain and develop into the great parks and recreation program that we have today. I think there are, I don't know, close to 100 miles of trails and 5,000 acres of open space of all varieties, including tot lots, basketball courts. Generally been a very, very successful program over the years.
I know that you and I use the pathway system a lot, and it reminds me when I served on the zoning board myself and when I was county executive, the most contentious part of the job, and I loved the job, and the people living in Howard County were so great to work with, and the people in the business community and the people in the development community, a lot of very good people dedicated to the community of Columbia. But now, even then, which was 25 years ago, it was difficult to set aside even a 2 or 3 acre parcel. And now I can hardly imagine the government coming in and telling a developer, look, you have to set aside this amount of money for this amount of land, which is money, obviously, to people in that business. And it's and I don't think that history has gotten around that well. I don't think that many people living in Columbia now, I don't think it's a matter of remembering for them, because I don't think we're talking about it that much, of just what a unique development process from the perspective of how we use the land and how much profit was made. And of course there was a good profit made. The Rouse Company was a very successful company. But do you ever think about that? Of, you know, what could we do to get that kind of spirit? Not that, I mean, we love living in Columbia now. I know that. No intention to move anywhere else. No desire to move anywhere else. But that spirit of, you know, we'll all, you know, pitch together and make this work, doesn't seem to, well, I know it's not as strong as it used to be. And sometimes it looks to me like we're slipping away from that.
Well, we who were more or less pioneers, although not the first, have much greater memory banks working than those that are coming into the community nowadays. And I think most people that come here for the school system, for the physical planning, for the cleanliness, for the nice layout. And they don't really, they don't get taught, in a sense, of what the basic ideas of Columbia are. And you're talking about the economic element of acquiring land. We have to remember those 15,000 acres that Rouse accumulated in the early 60s came out to cost them $1,500 an acre.
Amazing.
Now $1,500, lucky to buy a square yard.
Quite a contrast, huh? I don't want to fail to mention the incredibly high quality of offerings in the arts that this county has, theatrical arts, all areas of the arts, and that that also is very much connected to the Howard Community College. And I know that you were involved in that, having been the sponsor of the bill that created the Arts Council. So that's another thing to, for many of us to feel really good about. But the way I want to wrap up is to ask, what do you see as the biggest, not problems, the biggest questions facing Columbia and in the economic area, social justice, the whole area? What do you see, and also the biggest strengths?
Well, the biggest strengths are the evidently great acceptance that Columbians have of their community, and of understanding what it's supposed to be, and enjoying where they're living. I mean, that's what Columbia was developed for, and I think by and large that's the way it has turned out. But the differential between income groups is not nearly as well done as it should be. And it's up to the government to make sure that happens, because, I mean, the private sector cannot do enough on their own because of the financial problems in building a low-cost construction for those that really need it.
Do you think it's an unreasonable goal for us to aim for a Columbia where everyone who works in Columbia can also live in Columbia?
Well, certainly that was one of Rouse's original goals, and we're slipping away very much so from that. The government primarily, since the private sector has really, they're in business, they're not social service agencies. The local government has to make sure that is provided one way or another, because we just don't want to become a super elite community where only the best and the highest and the most successful and the wealthiest can live.
And finally, to wrap up, neither you nor I are getting any younger, just like no human beings are. But I think that we have agreed, and I know that I want to spend the rest of my life here in Columbia. I very much want to stay here, no interest in moving to Florida, etc. And how do you see that, Columbia's role in the rest of your life?
Sure. That's the way I think things will work out also, and I hope so.
Good. And thank you, as a resident, for all of the work you did. You've not been an attention seeker, and so your name was not in big bright lights, but I, not only as your wife, but even more importantly as a resident, appreciate all the input that you have given to our community over the years.
And I'm only one of those. Many, many other people.
That's true.
Could wear that same mantle.
Very true, and we're very fortunate to be living here. Until next time, this is Reflections on Life. Nothing's gonna change my world. Ooh.
connect with us, we are Dragon Digital Radio.